Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Unprintable. Welcome back. I'm Jason Frommer, features writer for Shaw Media. On this week's episode, we have some exclusive interviews that we want to give you a listen to. We had Jamie Kunzer. She is the Northwest Herald's entertainment editor, doing an interview with Amelia Presley. Amelia has some pretty impressive ties to rock icon Elvis Presley. She is his cousin. So we'll hear a little bit more about that interview later on in the podcast. Also want to talk a little bit about something close to my heart that's coming up the end of this week, Record Store Day 2016. That's right, all of you avid vinyl collectors and music junkies out there, get ready because it's coming. Be the first in line. There's over 300 exclusive releases this year. It's insane. I'm looking at the list right now and it just does not end. I had a chance to talk to Rich Wagner, who's the owner of Rediscover Records in Elgin, Illinois. We talked a little bit more about Record Store Day, and you'll hear more about that later on in the podcast as well. But right now, let's kind of cut into something that I want to try out here, a new little segment I'd like to call Let's Talk About This. So, let's talk about this. We've got quite a few shows coming up here. A couple ones that I want to talk about specifically. We have a huge show, Smashing Pumpkins, playing the Civic Opera House on April 14th. That's going to be insane. Tickets are sold out, so if you have a chance to get a pair, I would say find them anywhere. You know, eBay, Craigslist, I don't care. Find a way to get into this show. If you're going to, like, sneak into it, be careful. I don't condone that kind of, you know, those kind of actions, but get to this show because it promises to be pretty amazing. We also have Randy Bachman of Bachman Turner Overdrive, BTO, playing with the Guess Who at the Arcata Theater on April 16th in St. Charles. If you're into, you know, aging rockers and you like the classic rock sound, that's definitely a place I would go to check that out. Not that Billy Corgan isn't an aging rocker, but, I mean, look at the guy. He looks like a vampire. I don't think he has aged a single day since his release in the 90s. I have his solo album that he released, and he looks exactly the same on there as he does now. It's insane. I'm pretty sure he may have sold his soul, and he is now immortal. Anyway, let's move past that and talk about another show on April 16th with Amelia Presley. She's playing at the Penny Road Pub. Jamie Kunzer, she took a couple minutes to sit down with Amelia and talk to her in an interview about Amelia's her past and service in the military, a little bit about her new single that's coming out, Hard-Headed Mama, and just all around her general music and her style. So let's take a listen to that. This is Jamie Kunzer interviewing Amelia Presley. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
So yeah, I guess the main reason we're calling, we're going to talk about the upcoming show at Penny Road Pub. It's a benefit for veterans, which obviously is close to your heart. Can you tell me a bit about how you got involved with it?
Well, I'm a Coast Guard veteran, and I was contacted by the guy that is kind of heading it up, and he just asked if I would, come and play.
And it's you'll be doing some of your new songs. You have a single out, right?
I do. I have a new single out called Hard-Headed Mama, and that's kind of I wrote that while I was still enlisted, and it's kind of like a tribute to women in the military and kind of the differences that we face.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a kind of a strong power song. A lot of your music seems that way. Is that kind of an intentional, or is that just kind of how you write? Or
for sure, I'm definitely kind of strong-willed, and I think that comes out in my music a lot.
Yeah, and we have to bring up your relative. So I was reading your bio and you talked about how you, even as a young child, wanted to follow in. Oh, for those who don't know, she is Elvis Presley's cousin. So I was reading that you wanted to follow in his footsteps. So now tell me, obviously you always knew you were Elvis Presley's cousin, and how did that impact you?
So from an early age, I knew that he was my cousin, and my dad, he sings and songwrites too. And so he was always walking around singing and playing music, and he really got me into music and told me I was related to Elvis, and so I thought that was really cool and just kind of wanted to follow in those footsteps as well and be a singer when I grew up.
And you were a fan of his music? I take it.
Yes.
When did you find out? How old were you when you knew?
I had to be pretty young because I've known for a really long time. I was probably, yeah, they probably told me when I was 5 and walking around singing, and I probably didn't really quite know what that meant. But
in your music, how would you describe your music? Would you compare it to does it have an Elvis style, or how would you describe your music?
I wouldn't say that it has an Elvis style, really. It's more, the blues element is there, I think. It's definitely kind of a mix between country rock and blues, mostly country. But I've got kind of a raspy voice, so kind of brings out some soulful blues, too.
And you enlisted in the Coast Guard in 2010. So how did you make that decision and why?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I knew I wanted to join the service. Part of the reason was that I did want to have a steady paycheck coming in to not only take care of my son, but make steps in music as well. I knew that I wanted to record an album, and I kind of felt like that was my first step. And so I wanted some way to make that happen. So I started looking into different branches. And I was looking into a couple of them. The Army was one of them. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seemed like a few of the branches were a bit too eager, I guess. And then the Coast Guard was pretty much like, we've got plenty of people, you know. they didn't even return my phone call for a long time. They weren't even taking people. And I just kept on calling and kept on calling. And they're finally like, you're really persistent. So we're going to get you in here for an interview. And I just bugged the heck out of them until they brought me in.
So even while you were doing all that, you were still pursuing this music career, correct?
Yes. The whole time I've been in, the very first year that I was in, I started recording, and I was in A school for machinery technician. And I technically wasn't allowed to leave the training center. But it was a weekend, and I just didn't tell anyone I was going anywhere. And I drove from Yorktown, Virginia to Nashville one night. It was a 10-hour stretch. Got to the studio, recorded all day, and then drove all night back to Virginia, and no one knew that I was gone.
And that was your first recording session, correct? It was like an acoustic.
Yes.
And then you released your first album. When was that?
I released the first album in 2013. That was after I was stationed, ended up getting stationed in Virginia. And I brought my horse up there with me. I kind of had to figure out a way to pay for the rest of the recording because I wanted to bring in a full band and everything. So I ended up selling my horse and my horse trailer so that I could afford to finish out the album.
And talk to me about a little bit more about your music. It's country. What do you have any influences? How would you describe your music?
Well, I've always loved. I love like what classic country, Patsy Cline, mm-hmm. Hank Williams. I like the simplicity and the beauty and those types of songs. But I've always loved. Lyrics are my huge thing. I love to write things so that. You might not necessarily know what I'm talking about when you listen to the song, which is kind of, it's not a traditional country element to have a song that's kind of hard to understand, but it's something that I try to bring to the table and just keep it country definitely, but have some more in-depth lyrics.
Mm-hmm. And you write all of your music?
I do.
You do. You obviously have the single out now. Any favorites? Any favorite songs that you've written?
I've got one that I wrote for my son. It's called Underway. And it's kind of describing why I was gone all the time. He was little and he just knew that I was gone for work. He didn't really understand why I was gone. But in the song, I kind of say, you know, I'm doing this for you to keep you stable.
How old is your son?
He is 7 turning 8 this year.
Okay. And what's his name?
Barrett.
Barrett. Okay. And so you say you wrote one of your favorite songs was for him, and explaining why you're away on military service. You want to kind of continue that a little bit?
Yeah. So I wrote the song Underway for him. And I wrote it while I was still in a school in Virginia. I just knew that moving forward, before I was at an air station, and moving forward, I would be stationed somewhere far away, more than likely, and I could be out on the boat, deployed, underway is what we call it. And so I just kind of wrote the song to explain to him that I'm doing this for you so that you have, you know, health insurance and you're taken care of, and just so that he didn't understand the song then, but I think he mm-hmm. understands it now that he's a little bit older.
Yeah. And has your military experience obviously probably has influenced a lot of your writing.
Definitely.
Any other songs that kind of reflect on that?
Yeah, a lot of them kind of probably, especially on the album, you probably wouldn't be able to necessarily tell that I was talking about being in the military. That's just kind of how I like to write, but a lot of them, there's one called Gibson Man. I was actually talking about a divorce I went through, and one of the lines is a girl in blue who's never around. And that's really kind of one of the only elements in the song that even touches on being in the military. But, that's what I meant by that is blue uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Hard-Headed Mama. I wrote that when I was being stationed in Alabama from Virginia. And this guy that I knew kind of called me up and was like, you know, you can get out of the military and I'll take care of you and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of wrote that song kind of like, are you insane?
Yeah. And so obviously we're going to hear some of that when you perform. You want to talk a bit about, you know, what we can expect from a performance? Is it acoustic or?
It's going to be, I'm flying up there, so I couldn't really bring a whole lot, and I couldn't get my band up there either. So it's just going to be mm-hmm. me and a guitar, an acoustic show, a lot of crowd interaction, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually never been to Chicago. So I'm pretty excited about that.
You're in Mississippi, right?
I am.
Okay. Well, yeah, so awesome. So you get to come to Chicago. And you record in Nashville, correct?
Yes.
And you're doing another album right now, or it's in the works? Or?
Yeah, I've got a few of the songs recorded. It's just kind of a financial thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
To get it actually up and running. I've got tons of songs written. It's just actually getting them recorded. That's the kicker. But on the second album now, I've got 3 recorded, going to record another one soon. I'll actually be recording the first song that wasn't written by me. Someone pitched a song to me, and it's a great song, so I'm pretty excited about recording someone else's song for a change.
Yeah.
And trying to own element in it and really because it's different singing someone else's song. It's kind of, I don't know, you have to really put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to put myself in my own shoes when I'm singing a song that I wrote, because, you know, I know how I was feeling, but with this I'll have to, you know, kind of feel how they were feeling and try to portray that the best I can.
Obviously this song caught your attention. Is there a title?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to release yet.
Oh, okay. Can't talk about it yet. no problem. No, so I read now also that you're now kind of an ambassador for a veterans group.
Yeah, it's called Heart Songs for Veterans, and they give 100% of the profits to veterans. They've bought service dogs. They do veterans events. It's an awesome organization, and I was so impressed by that. And when they asked me to be an ambassador, I just kept on looking into it, and I saw that there was a record label. Heart Songs Corporation was started because of Heart Songs for Veterans. So I was so impressed with that I wanted to sign on with that label. So I did. So I'm now signed on with Heart Songs Corporation. But there's great. It's a great group of people that really genuinely care about veterans. They're not doing it for any other reason than to actually give back.
Mm-hmm. And being ambassador, what does that entail?
Well, I'm going to donate a song. The song is called Get Lucky. Okay. And it's already recorded and everything. I'm not sure when it's going to actually be released, but all of the proceeds from that song will be going to the charity to help with helping veterans.
Awesome. And I have to get back to the Elvis thing just for Elvis fans, because I'm sure you get a lot of that. That people ask you about that, I'm sure, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any personal know a bit more about Elvis because you're a cousin, or have you done research, or I don't know, is it something that's big in your life, or being a cousin of Elvis?
It's definitely a cool thing. I've growing up, I've heard different stories just about I don't know that anyone living right now that's in my family, my immediate family, knew him personally. Mm-hmm. But they knew his parents. My dad actually asked my papa, my grandfather, who recently passed away, he asked him one time why he never invited Elvis down here, because my grandfather and all of his brothers, they moved from where the rest of the Presleys are down here, and that's kind of why we were probably disconnected from that part. Mm-hmm. But he said the reason he never invited Elvis down was because Elvis just wanted to sing and play guitar, and he wouldn't pick any cotton. So why would he bring him down here? There was no reason. Uh-huh. But that's how my grandfather was. He wasn't, he didn't care about fame or anything like that. He cared about getting a job done. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, have you been to Graceland?
I've never been. No, I've driven through. I've driven through Tupelo and stopped in Tupelo, but that was the most, really, that I've spent there.
I've been there like 3 times. My husband is a huge Elvis fan myself, so make sure you have an Elvis portrait on our basement wall. So I have to ask more about that, because if I don't, he'll be mad at me. So, but yeah, so would you say you're kind of similar to Elvis, where you just wanted to sing but no, you're a worker too, obviously.
Yeah, I love to work, and I don't know if Elvis really didn't, my papa probably didn't know whether he worked or not.
Right.
But all he knew of him was that he was famous and
right.
And sang and played, and so he was like, I can't get him to work, so why'd I bring him down here? But yeah, I love to work any chance I can, because I grew up on a farm, and now I live just literally right across the woods from the farm that I grew up on. And so I'll still go over there and ask what needs to be done and get work done.
I guess, what's your future goals? Where would you like to see your music career go?
This whole journey, I haven't really known where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of been an experience where I kind of learn as I go. I want this to be my career. That's always been the goal, and I feel like I'm getting closer and closer to that. I'm definitely getting somewhere with it. So I don't know where it's going to go next.
Ever think about like going to Nashville, or you set in Mississippi, or?
I did move to Nashville for a few months, and okay. I came right back home.
Okay.
I kind of realized Nashville is a straight shot from here. It's like 6 hours. Since I've been in the military, I've had to drive like 15 hours, 10 hours to Nashville or back home or wherever. And it was a super far drive anytime. So I'm kind of like immune to driving. So 6 hours,
mm-hmm.
6 hour straight shot is like nothing to me now. So I kind of realized I can live back home and be close to my family, be here with my son and my husband, because my husband's still enlisted. He's stationed in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I can still have that and go to Nashville when I need to, and it's actually less expensive to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And can we see you other places? Are you performing anywhere else in Chicago, or?
They had mentioned something about maybe getting me to go sing at the Veterans Hospital. I haven't heard anything else about that, so I'm not sure if that's still happening.
Okay.
But I'm pretty much flying up there Friday before the show, and then playing Saturday and flying back home on Sunday, so I won't be there very long.
Okay. I liked your, I was listening to your single, though. I like it. I love the
thank
power.
You
I have
so much.
I have 5 girls, so any kind of the female power, I'm all about that. So
nice. That is awesome.
So yeah, so great. It was great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
All right, thank y'all so much.
Are you crazy? Have you gone insane? You don't know me, but you're talking bell rings. There's something you should know about a broad like me. Got shovels in the dirt, cause my closet's clean. Tell me, are you crazy? Are you out of your head? I'm a loaded pistol with a pocket full of lead. Get off your knees, I don't need you. I'm a hard-headed mama with a heart. Wipe off your charm and expectations. Ain't on your arm, I'm celebrating an independent mind. I'm one of the few, but in every single bar there's one like you. Oh, ask me, can I cook and can I clean? How do I feel about those sort of things? Tell me, stay at home with all of your kids and you can go to work and my fridge. Tell me, are you crazy? Are you out of your head? I'm a loaded pistol with a pocket full of lead. Get off your knees, I don't need you. I'm a hard-headed mama with a heart of blue. Been up north, I've been down south, ain't heard the of your loud mouth. Got a pocket full of green you got from the boat. Better sink your checks, cause don't float. Tell me, are you crazy? Are you out of your head? I'm a loaded pistol with a pocket full of lead. Get off your knees, I don't need you. I'm a hard-headed mama with a heart of blue. Man, your smile is white. You're living in the now and your future's bright. Wait till old Sam takes a hammer to you. You'll be down in Alabama while my collar's still blue. Are you crazy? Are you out of your head? I'm a loaded pistol with a pocket full of lead. Get off your knees, I don't need you. I'm a hard-headed mama with a heart.
That was Amelia Presley's latest single, Hard-Headed Mama. You can catch her playing that at her upcoming show on April 16th at Penny Road Pub. To find out more details on that show, you can visit pennyroadpub.com. Also, to check out a little bit more about what Amelia is doing to support veterans, you can visit heartsongsforveterans.org. Amelia is actually an ambassador for Heart Songs for Veterans, and that is where artists are able to donate their music, and all the royalties go to support veterans. Speaking of April 16th, like I said earlier, something near and dear to my heart is coming up on April 16th, and that is Record Store Day. Now, I don't know if anybody out there is a vinyl collector, but if you are, line up early, line up often for Record Store Day, because this year promises to be pretty amazing. We've got over 300 different releases coming out, exclusive releases from artists across the board. I mean, we have artists like anything from Alt J, Atreyu, Blitz and Trapper, David Bowie, Johnny Cash, or something. We even go into Justin Bieber. I mean, come on, who thought that guy was going to release anything on vinyl? I won't be in line for that release, but there are quite a few out there that you may want to definitely check out. I had a chance to speak with Rich Wagner. He is the owner of Rediscover Records in Elgin, and we caught up a little bit about his store and just Record Store Day in general. Let's take a listen to that interview. We've got Rich Wagner, owner of Rediscover Records in Elgin, Illinois, here to talk with us about Record Store Day. Rich, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. So let's just let's talk a little bit about you first. How long have you been collecting vinyl?
I had records as a teenager and then switched to CDs like most everyone else. And then I got back into it probably 07, 08 with certain newer releases like The Shins or Radiohead that were putting their music out on vinyl again.
And
I've been buying records ever since in that format.
Excellent. Excellent. 2000, I think that's around the time I started really getting back to it. I remember growing up, my dad had a lot of vinyl, and I was super into it, and then he, you know, it got misplaced and thrown out. It's just like, okay, well, now it's not there anymore. And then around that time, 2008, I think, is when I met my wife, and she was huge into vinyl too. So I was like, hey, let's start collecting again. And it's so much fun. It's just cool to see all these, like you said, like these new bands that are putting their albums out on vinyl. It's such a cool medium to have that and to be able to feel that. But what do you think that your love of vinyl? I mean, obviously, you love it. You own the store. But what attributed to the fact that you opened up this record store?
I always love going to an actual record store, being it to buy records or CDs, just the whole love of being in a record shop and flipping through music, seeing kindred spirits there, maybe talking to the store owner or the person behind the counter. And I always loved that aspect, and it was always kind of maybe a dream or fantasy just to either work in a record store or maybe perhaps own one at some point.
So how much does the movie High Fidelity hit home with you?
almost all of it, even the relationship aspect of it.
Excellent.
But yeah, the whole Beta Band scene where he says, I'm going to sell 5 copies of the Beta Band.
Right.
That scene plays itself out nearly a daily basis. Maybe not 5 copies of a certain title, but someone will ask, oh, what's this? Is that for sale? Can I buy that?
That's awesome. So Record Store Day is coming up pretty fast here, and it's just been a growing trend. How many years have you been participating in Record Store Day?
We've been doing it since we opened the store, and the first year we participated was 2011.
Okay. And what did you, you know, based on the years that you've been open since 2011, what's kind of is there a year that you can think of that was more successful than another?
Each year has continued to grow in our store. Like last year, by far, was the busiest. And then the year before that was busier than the year before that. It's just been a series of stepping stones, not only with just the business. We've been able to afford and acquire more titles for Record Store Day, too.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So what do you think, in your opinion, is kind of – what's the glamour behind this? Why is everybody lining up? What do they – you know – Maybe we discovered the secret. You discovered the secret a little bit earlier than they did. But what do you think is drawing people to want to come to Record Store Day and to have their favorite albums on vinyl?
I think a lot of the people who are buying vinyl are buying it other days of the year because they just love vinyl. But oftentimes they release something in a limited format, limited pressings, 1,000 of a certain title, 500 copies of a certain title, and that's kind of where the attachment comes into, where they want to have this limited press of something.
Gotcha.
That's why we'll get people standing in line at 8 a.m. on record store day to come in.
I think it was even earlier than that. I showed up last year. I think I was there at 6.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thank you. But let's get back into it. So what now, have you seen kind of a difference in artists from the time you started doing this to now? Like, is it more eclectic now than it was?
There's a nice wide range of indie bands, Pitchfork kind of bands, right, as well as, you know, the heavy hitters, Rolling Stones, Beach Boys, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, continue to maybe put a single out or a 10-inch EP each year, maybe not every year, but it's a good mix of, like, startup bands. Like, even the Brokedowns have a Record Store Day release this year, as well as, you know, Nico Case or other bigger names.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you can even see, like, some pop artists who are jumping on this bandwagon. Like, I think, honestly, there's a Justin Bieber release this year, as I read. I won't be picking that one up, but I did see that it was on there.
I don't think we ordered that one. I mean, I don't think that one's coming.
So if you're looking for the Justin Bieber release, do not go to Rediscover Records.
Yeah, now I'm showing a little high fidelity colors, I think.
That's okay. I'm right there with you. But so talk to me a little bit about, you know, you've been doing this since 2011. Your store in particular has a nice flow to it, and you've got your records all set up. All the new releases for Record Store Day are on one wall, and people can go in. It's a nice single file line, kind of first come, first serve. Is there a reason you set it up like that, or did it kind of fall into place that way just because of how the store flows? Or, you know, was there some sort of problem that arose that you needed to run it that way?
It all just kind of fell into place just by the natural flow of the horseshoe kind of shape of the floor. And then just kind of keeping the store organized the other days of the year, it was only natural to, you know, alphabetize things, just kind of have it organized. And then record store buyers or people who would go to record stores, you know, it's a pretty cool, chill group. You know, there's no fisticuffs that we've had to encounter or anything like that. It's a real cool group that come here, and I'm sure other record stores too.
Yeah, I remember last year, I actually, since we're talking about high fidelity, that was one of the big things I came there for last year, and the woman who was in front of me said that if they had more than one copy, she would take it, but if they only had one, she would make sure she grabbed it for me. And I was like, that's so awesome. Like, these people are so cool, they're so nice, and like, you can just make friends standing out in line like that, and it's such a cool, like you said, it's such a cool crowd. You're right.
Yeah, and it's a great energy to it. And, you know, there's been other similar stories where someone, I'd overhear them, oh, I'm looking for this. Oh, here it is, and then they'll just hand it to them.
Yeah, that's so cool. The camaraderie is just amazing between that group, so I like that. So what albums or what releases are you looking forward to personally this year?
There's a Matthew Sweet release, Good Friend, that has some outtakes from the record Girlfriend.
Nice.
I'm always kind of a Sunvolt fan or Jay Farrar, so there's a live version of a Sunvolt show from maybe mid-90s that I'm kind of looking forward to, or I ordered an extra one for myself.
That was actually going to be my next question, was do you ever order a little bit extra so you can snag some at the end of the day?
But we are getting, I'm pretty sure we'll be getting things from like Disturbed, Superchunk, and it really covers, there's no genre left unturned. You know, maybe there's, you won't see opera, of course, but there's you know, the Feelies, Doors, Jay Reatard, you know, there's some hip hop artists, Gwar, Husker Du.
Oh, wow.
You know, and then even old school Monkees, 13th Floor Elevators, you know, and the aforementioned Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
So it really covers a lot of bases.
Yeah, that's very cool. So you're just kind of expecting that you're going to continue to be on the upswing with Record Store Day, and this year is just going to be even bigger than the last year.
I hope so. Though there's always that thought, what if no one comes?
well, you
that's
got,
not the case. That yeah, won't happen.
I can't see that happening either. And I'm telling you, you got at least one guy coming in line to on the 16th, so I'll be there.
All right. Well, we'll have coffee ready for you.
Excellent.
That's another thing we do is we set up coffee from Blue Box Cafe across the street, and maybe have some treats, snacks, pastries, things like that.
Oh, that's too. Very cool. Yeah, you know how to treat your customers right. I love going to your store, man. And anybody in the Elgin area should do themselves a favor and stop by Rediscover Records. And if you don't stop by any other day, I guess make it April 16th and see if you can snag some new releases. So, hey, Rich, thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate it. It's been a blast. Oh. I love talking about records and music, so thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor. Thanks.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Unprintable. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Stitcher, and Blog Talk Radio. A big thanks to Jamie Kunzer this week and our guest Amelia Presley and Rich Wagner for joining us. Our theme song's been Metronomics by Cecil. I'm Jason Frummer, features writer for Shaw Media. You can follow me on Twitter @JasonFrummer. And that'll do it. We'll catch you next week.